Father, thank you. We can look at your word. Thank you so much for giving us the Bible. For your word is inspired and preserved word for us, Lord. We pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds now as we look at your word. Please help me to say only what you'd have me to say and to clearly communicate the message. Lord, we pray that you work in our hearts, Lord. And we know that it's no accident for any of us to be here tonight or that we're looking at this passage of scripture here tonight. And God, we just pray for you to work. We know it's in vain unless your Holy Spirit works. So we ask you, please fill me with your Spirit and just work in this service tonight. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, as I mentioned, this is the last section of Psalm 119. And the psalm is, in the condensed version, I would say, is hope in God and do right. Hope in God and do right. I kind of borrowed that from a quote from Charles Spurgeon, who said, "In times of trouble, there are two things to be done. The first is to hope in God, and the second is to do that which is right. The first without the second would be mere presumption. The second without the first, mere formalism." And I think that goes well with this scripture here that we're going to look at. This is the last section of Psalm 119. Now, when you study through Psalm 119, as you go through it, one thing you can't help but notice is a progression of growth in the psalmist. We're not sure who the psalmist is, who the author is. There's some strong candidates, Ezra being one of them, David being one of them, and a couple others. But we're not sure who exactly wrote it. But whoever it was, as they wrote Psalm 119, they were going through quite a bit of trouble. There's a lot of affliction and trial and just trouble talked about and as it goes through. No real specifics given on whatever the situation or perhaps many situations that the author was going through. But as you go through Psalm 119, it definitely builds. It has high points and low points. But the highest point in the psalm is no doubt the second to last section, the one before this, 161 to 168, you read that, and it's just this powerful declaration of God's word and his trust in God's word. And you know, that's, you got 165 in there. It says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." You know, verse 168 says, "I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies. All my ways are before thee." There's a lot of sections in this where the psalmist is sometimes he's just down in the dust and begging for help. Sometimes he's up. Sometimes he's learning. Sometimes he's growing. But so as you read through Psalm 119, you get to the second to last one. You're like, wow, what a great ending. The guy, he has made it. He is in God's word. He is this mature, sound Christian who knows the Bible, and he is doing it. He's a success. But that's not the last section. This one is. And it ends with, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." You're like, oh man, 176 verses and you still haven't got it. "I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." Make no mistake, this section is written by, whether it's Ezra or David, whoever it was, a very mature Christian, someone who does know God's word. I mean, he's being, of course, used by God to pen in scripture, but you read this Psalm 119, there is no other passage of scripture that can compare to Psalm 119 and what it goes through. I mean, every verse, with the exception of maybe one or two, says something about the Bible and just goes through so many things. And the growth seen in this and the tremendous theological truth about the nature of God and who God is, just so powerful. But even someone like that is writing verses like this, these verses we just read. And he starts off in Psalm, in verse 169. He says, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word." He asks that his cry come near before the Lord. Not even himself. At this point, I kind of view him as he's so low, whether it's trouble from outside or from inside, from his own self, or maybe it's from outside influence. He's so low. Like, He's not even asking for himself to get near to God. It's like, just my cry. Just let my cry come near before you, O Lord. And this cry, the word behind this, it indicates an importunate call. This is a repeating thing. It's over and over and over and over again. He's praying. He's asking. He's crying over and over and over again to God here. He's in some kind of big trouble here, or some kind of big difficulty. Constantly asking the Lord. He says, give me understanding. Give me understanding. Have you ever been in a place where you just don't understand what's going on? You know, have you ever been there? It's like, Lord, what is happening? Why is this happening? I don't understand. That's where this psalmist is right now. It's, Lord, give me understanding. Give me understanding. What's happening? We don't know what's happening specifically to this person. He doesn't seem to even understand what's going on. Lord, give me understanding. And but as he asks for a specific type of understanding here. I think we can learn an important lesson from this. Give me understanding according to thy word. He's asking here for God to give him understanding of what's going on, but he wants a biblical perspective. According to thy word. That means in agreement with God's word. In agreement with God's word. There's an important truth here. You know, in order, the type of understanding that we need to have, that we need to seek, is what is in agreement with God's word. A biblical perspective in life. In order to properly understand your life, your troubles, your problems, whatever is going on, your understanding has to be in agreement with God's word. If your understanding, if the way you think is different than what God says in the Bible, you're going to have a hard time coming out of difficulties, coming out of troubles. It's going to be very hard. We need to get our minds, our understanding, in line with the Scripture. This is this psalmist's first step here in trying to pull out of whatever the mess he's in. He's going to God. He's crying to God importunately. He's turning to the Lord. And he wants his mind to be in line with the Bible. This is a common thing we see throughout Psalm 119. This is something that's challenged. We're living in a time when our biblical positions are challenged, our biblical understanding is challenged. But we need to gain our understanding from God's Word. We need to be on the right track. And not have our understanding according to our culture or our friends or even our family, but according to God's Word. Let's have our mind in line with God's Word. So he's asking God here for understanding. He does this multiple times through this. Is at least 15 times in Psalm 119 where he asks God specifically for understanding, for God to teach him. And I love, one of the things that helps me, especially when, you know, maybe in more difficult points in life, in praying, is to actually kind of pray the Bible. Psalm 119 is one of the tremendous passages to do that. You know, this psalm is a prayer, basically. You read through Psalm 119, the whole thing is basically a prayer. And he's asking things for according to God's word. He asks for this phrase, according to thy word, according to God's word, is mentioned over and over and over and over again in this psalm. He asks for quickening 6 times, according to God's word, for quickening, for life, according to God's word, for strength, for mercies, for kindness, for upholding, for attention, for understanding, for deliverance. Praise all this, according to God's word. He makes statements, you know, he says that cleansing comes according to God's word. He says that God has dealt well with him according to God's word. That creation continues according to God's word. This is all just in Psalm 119. All these things agree with God's word. We want to agree with God's word. This is a foundational thing to get our lives where they should be. Am I in agreement with God's word? What is it about me that is not? I need to get in accordance with God's word. That will cleanse our life. That will give us life. That will give us quickening. That will give us understanding. That will give us strength. When we are in according to God's word. And verse 170 says, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. This is showing his humility, that supplication, that the word behind that, when you study out the definition of that word, that is perhaps the humblest word, I guess, for asking. It indicates a very humble position. He's humbling himself before God in these requests. He's humbling. This is a humble cry. He's showing his humility before the Lord. He's asking for God's deliverance according to thy word. And this is, we could look at many examples in Scripture of God delivering people. We see, especially of David, even as a possible author, you know, for this psalm. How many times he had experienced God's deliverance, you know? And if this is David, you can imagine him thinking back to the many, many times he's been delivered from Goliath, from the lion, from Saul, from so many things. He's asking again for God's deliverance. Deliver me according to thy word. We need to go to God. Perhaps you can remember a time, or you are in a time now, where you need deliverance from something, from yourself, from somebody else, from whatever it may be. Go to God. This is one of the most important lessons of Psalm 119. It's when you have trouble, go to God. Go to God. It doesn't mean, you read Psalm 119, it's 176 verses. This psalmist has been going to God. And sometimes he's great, like the passage before this. Man, he is out of trouble. He's never even seen trouble. Life is great. This one, he's the last one. He's right back into the thick of it. So what does he do? He goes to God again. Goes to God. Asks God for deliverance. And God is the only one who can give us deliverance. God is the one that we need to go to. Verse 171 and 172 says, "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." Shall praise, shall speak. He's not even at the point here where he can praise God or speak of his word. That's how low he is. He's not saying, "Lord, I'm praising you. You've been so good to me." No, he can't even do that here. He's saying, "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." But he's pointing himself in the right direction. He might be in a place spiritually, mentally, physically, wherever it is, where he's in such a mess or he's so low, whatever it is, he can't even praise the Lord right now at this point. But what he's saying is, but I will. He's like, that's what I want. I shall praise the Lord, but he needs something from God. First, when thou hast taught me thy statutes. He's pointing himself in the right direction. That's important. Don't, when you're in one of those depths of despair times, sometimes they're hard to just snap out of it. You can't just pull out of everything immediately. But get yourself pointed in the right direction towards God. Know where you want to go. It's like, you know what? I'm in a bad place, but I know where I should be. I should be praising the Lord. I should be speaking of his word. Let's get that direction. Let's go that way. And he says in here at Psalm 171, he said, "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes." When thou hast taught me thy statutes. He's asking here for God to teach him his word. Sometimes all we can do to go to God and say, "Please help. Please teach me thy word." And God will. God will teach it. So, like I said, he's pointing himself towards God. He's pointing himself towards God's word. And he's asking for God's help in his word. This is amazing to me. This is an amazing thing about God. God's mercy, his long-suffering, his understanding for us. You know, and his knowledge. If you read through Psalm 119, this psalmist, I'm convinced, knows more about the nature and the attributes of God than anyone else, except for maybe Moses, who spoke with God face to face as a friend. He knows so much about, he knows enough about God's character that even though he's in such a bad place where he can't even utter praise. He can't even utter God's word. He's still going to God. He's still going to God, asking God to teach him. He knows what God's response is going to be. He knows God's not going to look down on him and say, I have taught you enough. Time for you to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and be a man. And there, you know, there's times where we should do that. But God, when God, he knows he can go to God, ask God for help, ask God to teach him, and God's going to respond. God's going to teach him. There's so many lessons to be learned from the nature of God and how this psalmist goes to God and his response to God. So don't be afraid to go to God. When you mess up, when you destroy your life because of some mistake, don't be afraid to go to God. God is there waiting to respond to you, waiting to help you, waiting to teach you. He wants to teach you. And be open to God's teaching. God can teach you through whatever situation, whatever happens in your life. Whether it's your fault or someone else's fault or whatever, go to God, ask Him to teach you through this situation. Ask Him to teach you His Word in this situation. That's what the psalmist is doing. My lips shall utter praise when Thou hast taught me Thy statutes. And the recurring theme through the psalm is, the psalmist knew the key to his, the key to getting his life right, whether that was spiritually, physically, mentally, the key to getting it right is he had to know God's Word. He had to get that in his mind. He had to hide that in his heart. That was going to be his lamp. That was going to be his light, his guide, his truth. It's God's Word. This is a lesson for us. When you're in a mess, go to God. Go to God's Word. That's what you do. And God will respond in mercy, in kindness, even when we don't deserve it, which is like never. God still does every time. In verse 172, we read this once already, but it says, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Speaking of God's word. Again, he wants to get there. He wants to get to where he can speak God's word. God's using this affliction to help him, to point in that direction, to get him there. The more we commit to obeying God and fulfill that commitment and to see God work in our lives, the more we will praise Him, the more we will speak of God's word to others. How much, you know, and this is kind of a, you read through Psalm 19, you're like, well, we've kind of been here before. This is a repeating thing. But when God brings us through a difficult time, when we go to God, we ask Him for help, we ask Him to deliver us, when God does that, and you come out the other side of it, you're going to tell others about it. You're going to speak of God's word to others. You're going to praise God to others. You're going to, that's going to be in your mouth. What's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. And this is something that, this is how we get that in our heart, is turning to God, even in the difficult times. Speaking of God's judgment is mentioned multiple times throughout this psalm. And this is something that, you know, this is what helps us learn God's word, the more we speak of it. Speaking of the righteousness of God, all thy commandments are righteousness. This is an idea here too. I won't spend a lot of time on this just to keep moving, but his perspective on God's word has that God's commandments are righteousness. You never see him speak of God's word, God's commandments, God's judgments, anything as some type of overbearing law. Never. It's always spoken of in love and in righteousness. He has the right perspective of God's word. God's word is right. His commandments are righteousness. It's the right way. God gave us his word for us to help us. It's not some taskmaster to keep us from doing all the stuff that we want to do. No, if we live God's word, if we follow God's word, we'll have life. We'll have life. God wrote it for righteousness, not just as some taskmaster or some overbearing law. He has the right perspective on God's word. And he's asking for God's help again in verse 173. He says, "Let thy hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts." Let thy hand help me. Again, we see him going to God's hand. His perspective, his understanding of God, God's hand was, he knew, you know, he didn't have to fear God's hand. Now, there is time, the Bible makes keeping and comparing Scripture to Scripture, keeping everything in context. If a Christian continues to rebel against God in sin and ignores God and ignores God's Word, you should be fearful of God's hand of judgment. That will happen. But it's the direction here. Look at the direction of this psalmist. Maybe, we don't know what the situation is. Maybe he committed some big sin and he's in a bunch of trouble. Or maybe it was outside forces. I don't know. But whatever it is, look at the direction. He's turning towards God. And he knows God's going to respond positively to that. When we have that repentant, humble attitude, we can ask God's hand to help us. We don't have to fear God's hand. Now, if we're going to be stiff-necked, as the children of Israel were, and constantly rebel against God, God's hand of judgment will fall, and that will not be pleasant. But if we're humble and we repent, God's hand will be a hand of help and not a hand of judgment. Choose to obey God and then ask for His help. You can't do it in your own strength. You need God's help. This is another thing. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't pull yourself out of all your trouble, out of all your messes. You have to have God's help. So you have to humble yourself. You have to go to Him. And He will help you. We need His help. This is, "I have chosen thy precepts." Again, you know, it's that He's got that obedient spirit. He has chosen what He's going to do, and He's asking for God's help. It's important to have that in the correct order. In verse 174, it says, "I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight." I have longed for thy salvation. He is longing for his salvation, the fulfillment of his salvation. This doesn't mean that he's hoping to get saved, like he's wondering, like, okay, when I die, am I going to go to heaven or hell? You know, I hope I get salvation. No, that's not what he's talking about. His salvation is a sure thing that he's hoping for, that he's longing for. He says a similar thing in the previous passage of verse 166. He says, "Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments." And here in verse 174, he says, "I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight." He has this heavenly perspective. He's longing for the future, for the salvation that he has. That's a tremendous help to us as Christians. Keep that heavenly perspective. Don't keep your eyes on your circumstances that are right in front of you, but you think about the future. You think about what's going to come. Your salvation, your redemption that is one day going to be fulfilled when you are in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we think about, what we have to come, our hope in the future. Think about that. That's going to be very powerful help for us. "I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight." He's delighting in God's word. His delight, that's what his mind is set on. Think of Colossians 3, verse 1. "Set your affection on things above." Same idea here, is delighting in God's word. He's setting his mind on that. He's setting his mind on God's word. He's focusing on eternity. He's setting his mind on God's word. Verse 175, it says, "Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me." Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. As long as he lives, he's going to praise God. He's asking God here, you know, "Let my soul live." And I think this is a sincere and honest prayer. He's in big trouble. "Let my soul live." He's asking to let his soul live. You know, and he's not asking here for his physical life. "Let my soul live." I don't know if you've ever been in that place. Have you ever been in a place where you just feel like your soul is, it's like, oh man, my soul, it needs life. Like something, whether it's the circumstances of life that gets you down or whatever it is, or you've messed up your own life, but you can go to God and ask Him, "God, let my soul live and it shall praise thee." God intends us to live. God intends us to live and to live life to its fullest, not to be constantly down. And God can give us that life. He can quicken us. He asked six times before this for God to quicken him. Again, this is a similar request. Let my soul live. He's asking for that quickening, for that revival, that spiritual revival. And it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me. He asked for help from God's judgments. This is, he's, again, that good perspective on God's word. God's judgments are right. When God makes a judgment to allow something evil to happen to you, God's judgments are right. God's judgments are meant to help you. You don't understand it all the time. I don't understand it all the time. It seems like very few times I understand it. But you keep this perspective on God's word. God's judgments are there to help you. So whatever God judges to put into your life, whether good or bad, God did that to help you. So you keep that perspective on. That's how we view God. God had a reason for it. God is good. God is always good. He does that to help us. And then last verse here, verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. You know, we see a humble man here comparing himself to a sheep that has gone astray. The humble man. You know, whether this was David or Ezra or whoever, you know, obviously David, very familiar with sheep, but anyone around this time would have been very familiar with this image, with this picture of a lost sheep. You know, and this is such, and of course, not the only time the Bible compares, you know, people to sheep. Remember that this is what we are. We're sheep, and we go astray. We go astray. We're sheep. So, one, keep yourself in perspective, and remember that God knows that. God knows who we are, what we are. We can go to God for help. He says, seek thy servant, and God will seek us. The key is, seek God's word. Don't forget God's word. Seek God's word, and God will seek you. Set yourself in the right direction of that humble, repentant heart, and ask the Lord, and He will seek you. Of course, we have Jesus as our good shepherd, who seeks the lost sheep. We see that in the New Testament. God will always seek you. When you turn to Him, God will seek you. And it likes to, even in this psalmist, in this state, he's in such a mess, such a terrible state here. He's so stuck. He's like a lost sheep on the edge of a cliff. He can't go find his shepherd. He needs his shepherd to find him. God will do it. But he's crying out. He's crying out for the shepherd, and the shepherd will come and seek him. God will come and seek him. He says, for I do not forget thy commandments. Sometimes all you can do is I'm not going to forget God's word. I'm not going to forget. You just have to repeat that to yourself. I'm not going to do it. You know, the devil's attacking, your flesh is attacking, or whatever it is, or there's some bad circumstance, difficult circumstance. You just don't forget God's commandments. You know, don't do it. Don't give in to the temptation, or you know, don't give in to the doubt and the gloom. Don't forget God's commandments. Don't forget God's word. Ask God to see. God is coming. God is seeking you. He's going to be there. He's going to rescue you. Don't forget God's word. Stay faithful to it. So, you know, when those times when we go astray, there is a God who is the good shepherd who will seek you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to show himself strong in your life. So go to God. So, again, as I said at the beginning, kind of to sum it up in the conclusion, when you're in trouble, when you're in a big mess, hope in God and do what is right. Cling to the truth of God's word. Point yourself in that right direction. Humble yourself. Hope in God and do what is right. All right. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll go into just a brief time of invitation.